For sure, when the Lord comes back, he will come back to Zion.
Amen.
There is no other place for him to go to.
Right.
This is definitely written.
Lord, the Redeemer will come back to Zion.
Amen.
And of course, there is an earthly Zion there in Jerusalem. This is why Jerusalem is so important for God. And this is why the declaration, and I repeat that again, that Jerusalem is the eternal capital, is very crucial and very important at this time. Don't underestimate such a declaration. No. No wonder all are really excited there in Israel, especially in Jerusalem. Right. But then, we should not forget, there is a spiritual heavenly Jerusalem. There is Zion. Right. And this must correspond to each other. Right. That is why, at the very end of this age, Jerusalem must be restored. Right. This is why the last week, the last 7 years, begins with peace in Jerusalem. Right. Because how can the Lord come back if there is no place for him to come back to? Right. No resting place, no place for his throne to be there. He's not going to come back to New York City or, I don't know, Los Angeles. Oh, a terrible place to be. He will come back to his chosen city. So, not only the nation of Israel is restored in 1948, but then Jerusalem was also partially restored in 1967, but actually fully restored in a way. And now, what a wonderful international declaration from this president. This is the eternal capital of Israel. You know, this is definitely from the Lord. This is definitely from the Lord. It's not man's doing. We have to see what God is doing, then we will appreciate it. Right. And this is all for the preparation of the Lord's return. In Isaiah, it says the Lord is going to come back to Zion and to glorify Zion, as we have seen last night. And Zechariah definitely confirmed that clearly. He will return and his feet will be standing again on Mount of Olives. And it is at that time that all Israel will be saved. Right? So everything fits together. We need to see the whole picture. We are not just here guessing or, imagining some strange vision, or we are not dreaming here. We're not dreamers. But we have to see the heavenly vision and know what is going on. And the Lord will come back to Zion. Right. And so salvation is not just to save people. Salvation is for Zion. Right. We don't need to repeat, but we need to emphasize this point. So we can really see the Lord will return to Zion.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's go to chapter 62. Because Zion is so important. really in the heart of God's plan. You have to see that without Zion, it's not possible. And it is God's kingdom. So the church today is not just Sunday morning meeting. That we give a message and pray a little bit and remember the Lord and then go home. No. Zion is definitely very much more than that. Right. So now we come to chapter 62. In the outline, at the very end, we see the need for what? The need for watchmen. Amen. The urgent need. Today, it's not just a need. Today, it is an urgent need because the time is near. The urgent need. Are you a watchman? Or are you a dreamer sleeping there and dreaming? Dreaming of going to heaven. Right. No, the Lord urgently needs those who are watching and praying for Zion. Amen. Since the Lord has put in our heart this wonderful vision, how he needs Zion for his coming back. Then it is written here, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. And the nations shall see your righteousness. That is the only way for the whole world and all the nations today to have a turn. There is no other solution. No other solution. Right. Verse 1, the difficulties for many who read this verse is, who is speaking here? Who is speaking? Some says it is Isaiah, because it's normal. The whole book was written by Isaiah, but there are quite a few places here, right, where the Lord says, I will not hold my peace. There are quite a few. You can look it up. And it was the Lord speaking. And it was referring to the Lord. Right? And some said, it is the Lord speaking here. So, whoever is speaking, it doesn't matter. I'm sure the Lord is not holding his peace. Neither does Isaiah, or did Isaiah at that time. How about you? You don't care, right? It doesn't matter. Don't worry, it doesn't matter, it's okay. Is that your attitude? Is that my attitude? Oh, yeah, God will do it, forget about it, don't worry. Yeah, that's what a lot of people say. But what do we say? Right. For Zion's sake, who is more for Zion than the Lord? The Lord is now holding his peace. No. Especially the Lord today, being the ruler over the kings of the earth and looking down and seeing all these situations today. You think he'll be smiling? Oh, don't worry. Ask the angels' choir to sing some songs, then he can forget about it. How about that? No, we cannot have that kind of an attitude. And I don't believe Isaiah has that attitude. And I do not believe that anyone who has seen this vision will have this kind of an attitude. Yeah. So I will not hold my peace. That means I will not rest. I will not keep silent. I will speak about it. And I will pray about it. And I will remind everybody about it, why we are here. What are we doing here? Just fulfilling our obligation on the Lord's Day. Right? So, praise the Lord. If the Lord has shown us such a vision, an important vision of His coming back, then we need to pray. Then chapter 62 is very meaningful for us today. Amen. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. How about that? It's very similar to what David says in Psalm 137. Right? He will not enter into his own bedroom and rest there and sleep until he found a place, a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. Do we have such a desire? Well, this is the question. We cannot force anyone to have such a desire now. If you have it, you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. It's okay. What can we do? Force you to do it? You cannot force it. But if the Lord opened your eyes and our eyes to see what He wants and what He's doing today, then He would need people who will pray for it. And who will be watchful for it? Because if you're not watchful, and you just say, oh, I know He's coming, just like when the Lord first came, then oh, we know where He's coming to. He's going to be in Bethlehem, right? And we know, and they're still waiting, right? But how many people are waiting at that time and praying? One old brother. And one old sister. There are too few. Very few. I hope there will be more today. Not just knowing, He's coming. He's coming soon. Yeah, the sign said so, right? And we'll all be raptured. That's what they think. That's what the majority think. Right. So here, until her righteousness, again, righteousness. I'm beginning to love this word. Don't you? In just these few chapters, this word, righteousness. Are you right with God? Are you right with man? Right? Do you desire to be righteous? Or you just desire to be some kind of a very spiritual person? To be righteous is to be righteous before God in whatever you do. If you don't do anything, then your unrighteousness will not be exposed. But once you start your activities, once you speak, once you think, once you start to do something, then your righteousness or unrighteousness will be exposed. Once you open your mouth, how many words that we have spoken during the day is righteous, is meaningful, is correct before God? No wonder God says every idle word will be judged. You know that verse, right? But still you speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. So how many words that you have spoken will be judged? No wonder Isaiah, after he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, he says, "Woe to me." He didn't say, "Oh, I'm so blessed, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne." Did he say that? He says, "Woe to me, because I am a man of unclean lips." But praise the Lord cleansed his lips from the coal out of the altar. Right. So the moment we start our activities, immediately we are exposed. Are we righteous or are we not righteous? Yeah. If you sleep, nobody knows if you are righteous or not. But when you wake up and your eyes are open, you start to look north, south, east, west. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what attracts your eyes. Well, our eyes are not righteous. What about our ears? You like to hear what? What thing do you like to hear? Gossip? All of a sudden you're telling me about something. What? What did you say? And who? What? You don't have a righteous ear. You have an unrighteous ear. No wonder the Bible says our feet run to do mischief. And our hands are doing a lot of things and shedding blood. Your hands are full of blood, the Lord says. See, all our activities, even our heart devise, I don't know what kind of plan and plot and hatred. We are now righteous. So what are we going to do? Don't forget to put on the robe of righteousness. And Paul is always exercised and being reminded not to be found in his own righteousness. And what did Isaiah said our righteousness is? What? Chapter 64, let us read verse 6. Let's all read it together, right? But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Oh Lord. And if the wind comes and took away the leaf, your nakedness will be exposed. You may temporarily put on a cloak of hypocrisy, a robe of hypocrisy, but then it's made of leaf. And after a few days, especially in the heat of the sun, be 110 degrees Fahrenheit, it dries up even more quickly in California, especially in these days. And then all of a sudden, you turn on the fan at home. Not just even a wind from outside your fan. You turn it on, it's going to blow the leaf away. And your unrighteousness will be exposed. Expose. Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. May the Lord be merciful to us. That's why in these days I hope we love this word, righteousness. Right. Amen. And this is with salvation. We are saved. And the expression of that salvation is righteousness. But unfortunately, we say we are saved, but we do so many things that are not righteous. And sometimes we don't look like we are saved. And people at work will say, we are about the same. We are about the same. Amen. So may the Lord have mercy on us for Zion's sake. Amen. Then the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. Right? And all the kings your glory. Praise the Lord. And you shall be called by a new name. Ah, my goodness. It's always good to be renewed. Not once and for all, but keep on being renewed. Isn't it good if day by day you're being renewed? Amen. You become different. Yeah. You get a new name. Just like you buy new clothes. Right? The Lord will say, oh, wow, you're new today. I better give you a new name. Give you another name. Because we become different. We become new. But this new name must come from Him. Right? Don't call yourself by a new name. Even if you change your name, that will not change you. Which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You know, on one hand, it seems like it is God who is going to give you a crown, right? Paul says, I will receive a crown of glory which the Lord will prepare. Right? And even for those who love His appearing. But in another sense, you are helping with the preparation of that crown. Right? If you get a cum laude, summa cum laude, or magna, whatever, that's a reward for you. Well, why would the university give it to you? Because you're handsome? Because the president of the university like you? No. You are the one who prepares that reward. Don't think God will just give it to you. No, no. Otherwise, it's not called a reward anymore. Right. Praise the Lord. Today, we all need to prepare this crown. The crown of righteousness, which will become the crown of glory and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken. Praise the Lord. No longer be termed forsaken. Nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. Right. If we are not righteous, if today we are still the way we are, fighting and doing all sorts of things, then we'll be forsaken and desolate. Desolation will be there. But praise the Lord, no longer be termed forsaken. And I hope that with us, we will not be forsaken today. But remember, it is not God who forsakes you. It is you and I who forsake Him. So I don't know who is forsaking whom. That's what the Lord said to Judah and to Israel, right? You said, I divorced you. Where is the divorce paper? I didn't file it. But it is your sins that cause you to separate yourself from me. You said, I sold your children. No. No, your iniquities. You sold yourself. Right. Yeah, but you shall be called now when the Lord returns, and praise the Lord. The Lord is restoring the nation. The Lord is restoring Jerusalem. Amen. But unfortunately, they are still not faithful. So at the very end, the Lord will just have a very small remnant remaining. And then at that time, you shall be called Hephzibah. That means my delight is in you. Then the Lord will have his delight in us. And your land shall be called Merid, Beulah. Praise the Lord. It's really wonderful to be fully one with him, to be united with the Lord. It is really wonderful. Right, so you can see that when the Lord comes as the bride must be ready. And when the Lord comes as the King of Kings, Zion, his kingdom, must be ready. The place where he will set up his throne, not just temporary, but forever, it says. Wow, this is really amazing. Okay, this is our glorious future. The goal that is set before us. You want to miss that? Okay, well, I cannot say anything. Right, but I hope that we will not miss it. Then verse 5 says, as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. This translation may not be very good. So let's use the Septuagint version. The Septuagint version says, for as a young man dwells with a virgin, of course, married here, has a double meaning. If you're married, of course you dwell together. Right? It's not just a live-in, okay? So shall your sons dwell with you. You know, if you take a look at many of the parents, the sons don't like, the children don't like to stay with their parents anymore. Right? At the very end, here in the States, why are you still here? Right? On one hand, but on the other hand, the children can't wait to get out. Oh, my goodness. But today, praise the Lord, we like to stay together in Zion. Or do you like to leave Zion? Unless it's no longer Zion. You think the Lord liked to leave the temple in Ezekiel? If you read Ezekiel, you will see that the Lord had a hard time leaving, but he had to leave. Because it became a place of idol worship, a terrible place. So the glory of the Lord went from one station to another. And look at it again. And visit this again. And take a look again in the holy place. Right? And enter in and come out again. And then he left. Right? So, but praise the Lord, at that day we will all love to be in Zion. We will all love to be in Zion. And we love to be in Zion, not because we are standing on the, I don't know what basis, But because, like Ezekiel says, Yahweh Shama, because the Lord is here. If he's no longer there, you better follow him. Wherever he goes, it says, we are today following the Lamb wherever he goes. Right? During those early days when the Lord was on the earth, was he accepted in his own temple there? At the end, they kicked him out. In Laodicea, where is the Lord? Inside or outside? Knocking. How long do you think he's going to knock? Suppose you come to my home, okay? And I'm in the Far East. And you're standing there knocking, ringing my doorbell, and after 1 hour, nobody answers. And then you kept on waiting. After 1 week, you're still ringing the doorbell. After 1 month, you're still ringing and knocking. Would you do that? My door will be broken down. How long do you think the Lord will keep on knocking? Behold, I stand at the door and knock 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 and knock. Is that what's written there? No. If you do not open the door, if you don't open it, sorry, he'll be gone. Yeah, you're in and he's out. In and out. Oh Lord, praise the Lord. We want to be where the Lord is. Right? Hebrews says we have to go or stay there in the camp. What did Hebrews say? No, come on. Inside the camp is more glorious. Outside the camp is shame. It's shame, a reproach, a shame. So, where do you understand? How about Moses? Where does he want to stay? In Egypt? Oh, in Egypt. Wow, he's a prince there, right? Egypt. Oh, wow. It's fading. But not at that time. When he left, it was still glorious. He was a top dog there, you're right. At least one of the top dogs. He was the successor of the Pharaoh, maybe. Yes, but he left. But he left. Right? He would rather go away from Egypt and share the reproach of God's people. Praise God. So today it is better to be cast out of the camp and bear the shame. Whatever anybody say about you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. It only matters what the Lord says, right? Right. Or would you rather stay there and enjoy just there? I don't know. I don't know what you'll be enjoying there, but you're just more comfortable. What do you prefer? Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Zion must be the place, not because some kind of a system or some kind of a concept that you think is right. It must be because of this concept, of that concept. No. Zion is the place where the Lord is there. Yahweh Shama. Yes. You will never forget that because it's the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. Right? So no one should forget about that verse. That is why the Lord here says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. Watchmen. What are you watching for? If somebody says the right doctrine, somebody still believe in a certain doctrine, you're watching over one another to see if you're reading my books or not. What are we watching? Right? I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. Yeah. And they shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, and that is not a good translation, who make mention of the Lord. How do you understand make mention of the Lord? You just say, oh Lord, amen, I make mention. You keep on, oh Lord, oh Lord. No, it says you who reminds the Lord. Some translation says you who are the Lord's remembrancers. That means you are reminding the Lord always. As if the Lord will forget. Because it's been so long, Lord, how come you're not here yet? Are you sleeping or you forgot us? You must be enjoying heaven so much you forgot to come down again. Right. Of course, the Lord is not like that. But he wants you to remind him. Why? Because you forget, not he. That's the reason. Why do we have to come to the Lord's table every Sunday? What are we doing here? Do this in remembrance. The Lord did not say, do this so that I will remember you and I won't forget about you. You who are the Lord's remembrancers, who remind the Lord, come back, Lord. How come you're not here yet? Why do you still tolerate this situation? Are you watching or are you watching something else? There's no heavenly TV there, right? Probably not, or definitely not. Lord, we want to remind you, come back quickly. Amen. Yeah, right? We want to change that song to hasten his return, right? Amen. Like what Peter said, right? Yeah. Which is right. Hasten his return to remind him, Lord, what are you doing there? Have you forgotten us? Sometimes I joke a little bit with him. Have you changed your mind? You changed your plan? Did you give up Zion? Because it's not possible, right? After 2,000 years, still nothing happens, Lord. Maybe you change your plan. Please let me know if you change your mind. Are you a person who reminds him? Why are you not here yet? Right, they shall never hold their peace, day or night. Just like here, I will not hold my peace in verse 1. How about you? Will you hold your peace? You can sleep well. Every night you lie down to bed, you must tell the Lord, Lord, I'm still waiting, okay? I'm still waiting. How come you are delaying, and such a long delay? Even what Peter says will not give me rest. A day is as a thousand, but not for me. 1 hour for me looks like 10 years. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who remind the Lord, do not keep silent. Do not stop telling him. Amen. Keep on bugging him. Maybe if enough people, enough saints bug him, he'll say, okay, I'll get ready to come. How about that? Right? So if you forget, I will bug you all the time until you say, okay, I'll do it. And give him no rest. We do not rest, neither do we give him rest. Until he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Amen. Then the Lord's answer will be, he has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give you grain as food for your enemies. That means, okay, I'll come down and I'll take care of the matter. I'll take the problem in my own hands and I'll change the situation. Oh, praise the Lord. How about that? But if we don't care, then the Lord says, why should I come? Nobody cares. They don't care. Right. Oh, Lord Jesus, there is an urgent need for such remembrancers. Amen. Go through the gate. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Remove all the stones that are blocking the way. You know, people, instead of removing the stones, they block the way. Just like the Pharisees. They don't get in, but they don't want you to get in either. That's the problem. If you don't want to get in, it's your problem, okay? But don't stop me from getting in. But that's not the case with religion. They don't believe, neither do they want you to believe. They want to convince you. This is the problem. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner, a very clear standard for people to see. Lift up a banner. A big one, not a teeny weeny kite or something. Nobody sees it. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Wow, if we are all the Lord's remembrancers, and all of us are day and night telling him, bugging him, telling him, Lord, what's going on up there? You love the angels more than you love me and love us and love the saints? The Lord will have to answer, of course not. Then you say, then what are you doing up there? We need you down here. You never said that to the Lord, right? Okay. Anyway, it's not written here, but that's, well, how else are you going to remind the Lord? And they shall call them the holy people, praise the Lord. And on the one hand it says, all at that time will be righteous. Now the people all the nations will call them the holy people.
Amen.
And you shall be called sought out, because at that time the nations will seek them out. And 10 will hold on to a Jew, says, take us with you to Jerusalem. We want to learn the ways of the Lord. And a city not forsaken. Well, praise the Lord. I hope that today spiritually we are building the spiritual house, the heavenly Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, that our condition will be like this.
Amen.
Let's have a pause for 10 minutes, right?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.